Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Curtis Watkins, to the podcast. Dr. Curtis Thurl Watkins is a first-generation college graduate from Camden, New Jersey, who aspires to become a college president. A gifted visual artist, Dr. Watkins earned his Bachelor's of Fine Arts degree at Rutgers University, his Master of Arts in Teaching at Morgan State University, and his doctorate degree in higher education administration at St. Peter's University. Dr. Watkins is a student affairs professional with over 10 years of experience and a passionate educator who has taught at the post-secondary and collegiate level. He brings expertise on crisis management, student development, first-generation college students, academic success, Title IX, mental health, and strategic planning, and has served on the boards of the Mid-Atlantic Association of College and University Housing Officers as the Director of Strategic Initiatives and the Rho Alpha Sigma as the Director of Educational Programs. Watkins currently serves as the Director of Residence Life and Housing. And Dr. Watkins currently serves as the Director of Residence Life and Housing and Deputy Title IX Coordinator at the College of Coastal Georgia. Let's get started. Doctor, which methodology did you use for your dissertation?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Schrader. Well, my research is titled Extension of Family, a Phenomenological Study of New Jersey Educational Opportunity Fund Program Counselors. And so I used the phenomenological study. I was so excited to use it. I put it in my title.
Yeah.
I wanted to use this approach because I wanted to really understand the lived experiences of the academic counselors who work with this distinct population of first-generation students.
Mm-hmm.
I was a first-generation student as well, and I wanted to really get a chance to study that as part of my research. And so I looked at a series of different types of qualitative data. I looked at research methods through Cresswell and others, and I looked at ethnographic research, and also looked at a case study, some grounded theories, but it was really the phenomenological approach that really made a significant impact in terms of what I wanted to do with my research methodology.
That sounds like an amazing project. I wasn't the first in my family to go to college, but I was the first to graduate. So we have that similarity.
Wow.
Yes. So you know what? You got to break that cycle and start something new.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely.
Which writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
Yes. So there are several. The first for me was APA, the 7th edition. It is literally the essential roadmap to writing. You know, it was hand in hand with every text that I read, every passage that I wrote. For me, it was absolutely essential to have that. And thankfully, you know, the way it's written, the way it's developed, it is a really easy and clear guide for students to kind of use. On the other hand, I also used the Purdue OWL,
mm-hmm.
which was really great to look at really quick points and quick moments, you know, as you're typing digitally. And I would have one tab open for my research, one for Purdue OWL, and, you know, just check in and make sure my quotations were right, my in-text citations and, you know, some of those things. And it was quick. You search, you pull it up, it'll give you examples. And it's a really great one-two connection to the work that you're doing. Also ProQuest, you know, that might've been my other tab open,
mm-hmm.
ProQuest is such an excellent, you know, repository of, you know, this
yes.
is literally where the research lives. So it's where you have to go. And, surprisingly too, I was introduced during this process to Google Scholar,
yes.
Which also added some nice highlights to the process, you know, looking for sources that might have been blocked or difficult to find. Google Scholar filled in some really nice gaps in terms of what I was looking for. And so final writing resource I used, which helped me in my writing, was actually Zoom. I purchased a paid Zoom account for my interviews for my research,
mm-hmm.
And it provided not only the ability to review the interviews, but it also provided transcription as well too. So I was able to utilize that feature and to help support that writing process. So all of those things, you know, there are several others, but those were really
yeah.
my critical resources that I utilized.
Yeah, I used all those as well. I actually used Otter, OTTER, for my transcription. Yes. But I definitely, APA 7 is your Bible. ProQuest, definitely a great resource for all of your last minute. You know, I felt like sometimes when I did a section of my paper or a chapter, I needed like something to beef up what I already had, you know, as far as references or, you know, sources. I would use ProQuest all the time for that. Purdue OWL, same thing, because there's so many different nuances, you know, in APA, you can't remember them all. So
Absolutely.
So do you have any time management strategies to share?
Yes. So, you know, your time management strategies will differ from, you know, person to person. For me, I am a night owl. I get my energy and my activity past 10 p.m. So I was looking forward to, you know, whenever everything was kind of quiet at night to start my writing. I would write typically between 10 p.m. and around 2 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
4 a.m. Sundays I would take off because you definitely need that, you know, rest to recover, give your brain and your thinking some time to rejuvenate.
Absolutely.
but, you know, that was the time frame. You know, I had my desk was always clear. I had my books, my research, everything that was there, my notes, my written notes, certainly my laptop. And it was, you know, the place where the research was done. So also having a good, you know, setup in a good location helps for that. But, you know, somewhere along the line, it was interesting because during the process, you set so many goals. You know, I've had so many goals set up for myself in terms of writing, right, getting certain benchmarks, finishing my chapter two, getting a certain amount of references in. And, you know, I kind of went between this duality of having goals between the systems. And there's a text I refer back to by James Clear, Atomic Habits, that kind of talks about some of those things in terms of having a system and having a structure. Mm-hmm. So having that system, that time frame, those guidelines really helped to support those goals. Because when those goals are challenged, you really kind of need to have that consistent structure. So that time frame for me was, you know, it was sacred. You know, I used it to the best of my ability to write as much as possible. But also in terms of time management, you know, you can write, you can go into a lot of different directions, but you really need that guide. And so my dissertation chair really became a great time management strategy for me because she directed me where I needed to go, you know, pointed me north when I needed to go north, right, south when I needed to go south. I mean, she really was critical to the direction I was going to. And so she saved me a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so we had weekly check-ins. We checked in weekly. I made sure I was made it a point to check in every week, even if I had small, minor updates. And even in that process, she helped me to understand that, you know, I was always looking for big wins and big moments and big passages to share with her weekly. But I had to kind of step aside from some of the, you know, perfectionism and just letting her direct and guide the passages, no matter what they look like, no matter what they were. And once I kind of got over that hurdle, I really soared to kind of just kind of making it through the process very swiftly.
Yeah, you know, I had weekly, toward the end there, I had weekly Zooms with my chair as well. And sometimes I didn't have anything big. Sometimes, you know, I had rewritten a section and I wanted her input, or sometimes I was stuck. And I'm like, I knew what I wanted to say, but like, I couldn't find an eloquent way to say it. And so we would just work through, you know, little details like that. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, I wrote a whole chapter this week. You know what I mean? So...
Yes.
Yeah. And then a lot of times when you're so invested and it's your personal writing, you're too close to it. You need someone else, you know, to look at it. So it's very valuable time. I really agree with what you said. How did you overcome writer's block?
Yeah. I'll just share too. My chair changed something very significant in the middle of the process, and it took me a day to really get over it, but it was the best decision she did because she we steered me in the right direction, getting over that. So for writer's block is challenging, because even with the other points you just made, sometimes you're so close to it, it's kind of hard to kind of see what the next direction might be. But the process is not just one thing, it's everything. So it's writing, it's editing, it's looking at previous articles, it's looking for news sources, it's reading through, you know, other dissertations. So it's really in kind of diversifying that process. And so when the writing becomes blocked, for me, it was just an indication, okay, there's something else I need to do, you know, and it really indicates your balance check. You know, if for me, when I did get, you know, blocked and wasn't sure, I went and started to edit other passages, or I went and read other articles, because I knew there were some other chapters coming up or some other things coming up that I wanted to really start to get a grasp on for my research. So it was really this balance of not just writing, but also doing the other work of the research. So editing, looking for new articles, reading through other dissertations as well, too, but also knowing when to come back to writing. Mm-hmm. Because as we all know, through the process, you can go read one article and find a reference to another, and you really want to see what this author says, this researcher says.
Yes.
And you can go down that pathway.
Absolutely.
Now you spent the last few hours reading, but you need to get back to writing.
Right. Right. Sometimes what I would do when I found myself in that rabbit hole, I would say, okay, I would just note in the margin, I would print it out, or I would make myself a post-it or whatever. Like, if I need anything else, go back. You know, because sometimes you can have like literally 20 sources for one item, and that's not really necessary. So that's what I would do.
Yes.
Okay, so how would you describe your dissertation journey in one word, and why?
Fulfilled. So fulfilled would be my word. It's a word that's meaningful to me. When I was, I guess, kind of coming out of graduate school, I was looking to start a business and start a company. And at the time, you know, I did, I read about it, I wrote about it, I was speaking to other people about it, I was listening to folks about how to start it, constantly thinking about it. But I remember writing down, you know, doing is the highest level of fulfillment.
Yes.
And while reading and writing about something and speaking about it and thinking about it and listening to others talk about it, those aren't bad things, because they bring you into the realm of where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing. They're never strong as doing it.
And I know,
so
that's right.
For me, the dissertation process now being done, it is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked about it, I've written about it, I've spoken about it, I've thought about it. And for it to be fulfilled, it is the ultimate level of completion for me.
Yes, I hear that. I have three children, but my older two, one's 21 and one's 18. And I always tell them, don't talk about it, be about it. I'm like, speak it into existence and then start doing it. You know?
That's so it. That's
right.
Exactly it.
Yep. So are you reading anything right now? I love books, so I have to ask.
Yes, I am. So I just, a few months ago finished, I just started a new position. And one of my great mentors and esteemed colleagues, Olin Garrett, recommended that I read The First 90 Days to begin the process for this new role. And it was a brilliant read. And something that I'll continue to come back to, you know, throughout my career. But right now, I'm actually reading AVP, Leading from the Unique Role of the Associate or Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And so that, you know, I'm placing the research aside just for a few to really focus on the career now. And so this is a text that really speaks to some of the unique aspects of the role, and what it details, certainly how it's shifting with, you know, new things happening within higher education. And so it's been a great read so far. I'm looking forward to finishing that, and I know something next will come just as exciting.
Okay, cool. I might put that on my list of my bucket list of reading. I don't have too much free time, but I'd like to have a list of when I'm ready to choose something. So listen, Dr. Watkins, is there anything else you would like to share about your experience with academic writing?
So just want to take a moment just to thank you for this process. This is very helpful and certainly rewarding to those who have, you know, experienced the journey. And I'm sure those who listen This becomes very cathartic and very supportive. What I would say is to enjoy the journey. You know, I think I, along with all of my colleagues, so many others, start the process, ready to hit the road, ready to get it done in 2, 3, 1 year.
Right.
You know, and we're so focused in terms of getting it done as quickly as possible. But there was a sweet moment in the middle of it where, you know, I really did enjoy the research, the writing, the understanding, the critical thinking, all the things that make up this work. You know, you have to have some level of love or affinity towards it. So I really would say enjoy the journey. And I actually finished my degree in 7 years, so it took me longer. But with that, I knew that the goal was still the goal,
right?
No matter what happened. You know, I started a family in the middle of it, things happen. But also, finally, I would say is to balance that tenacity with grace.
Yes.
You know, we all have so much to, you know, to get it done. And it requires that. It actually requires that tenacity. So you have to have that to get through.
Absolutely.
But for those moments that, you know, you don't read, and those moments that you didn't turn in that next chapter or so, you know, you just have to give yourself grace and know that you just keep moving forward and you'll get it done.
Yes, absolutely. You know, sometimes, you know, I had set aside time to write. You know, I had a weekly schedule and I did not want to write. You know, say it's 7 o'clock on Wednesday, I said I was going to write. And sometimes I'm like, okay, just, you know, set your timer for 20 minutes and then see what you can get done. And most times, once the 20 minute was over, I was in the groove. So I just, you know, I kept writing. Or, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know what, this is just too much today. I know I had it on my schedule, but I have to take time for myself because I don't want to run myself ragged trying to make this, you know, timeline. So you kind of find a balance, you know, and I feel like, you know, once you get deeper into the process, you're better able to balance it. But there also, you know, there's also at the very beginning, you're excited. You're like, okay, I'm gonna get this done. And, you know, but, and your journey doesn't mirror anyone else's. So just remember that.
Like, absolutely.
Do your own thing. Do your own thing. Well, Dr. Watkins, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Yes, thank you as well.
Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's tempoediting.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share it with a fellow scholar.